This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A Pentagon audit has found Vice President Dick Cheney's former company may have overcharged the Army $1.09 per gallon for nearly 57 million gallons of gasoline delivered to citizens in Iraq, senior defense officials say. Auditors found potential overcharges of up to $61 million for gasoline that a Halliburton subsidiary delivered as part of its no-bid contract to help rebuild Iraq's oil industry. Many Democrats have also criticized the Halliburton contracts, suggesting they're a political payoff for a company with strong ties to the GOP and whose executives gave generously to the Bush campaign. Iraqi rebels fired a salvo of mortar shells at coalition headquarters early Friday in an incident that highlighted their ability to strike the seat of U.S. power in Iraq. There were no injuries in the attack, and only light damage was reported to a building in the so-called Green Zone, the downtown area housing the headquarters of the U.S.-led coalition, a military spokesman said. It was the first such attack since U.S. forces mounted a massive counteroffensive in Baghdad last month, dubbed Operation Iron Hammer, aimed at preventing strikes against the coalition's military and civilian targets. A Time magazine reporter suffered severe shrapnel wounds and lost his hand when he tried to throw away a grenade tossed into a Humvee he was riding in with a Time photographer and two U.S. soldiers, colleagues said Thursday. Time's senior correspondent Michael Weisskopf and contributing photographer James Nakwe were traveling with a U.S. Army patrol in Baghdad Wednesday night when the attack occurred, a statement from Time managing editor Jim Kelly said. The soldiers also were wounded, the U.S. military said, but gave no further information. Cluster munitions fired by U.S. and British forces killed or wounded more than 1,000 Iraqi civilians during the invasion last spring and continue to inflict casualties among the population, a study by a leading human rights group says. In addition to these preventable losses, Human Rights Watch said dozens of civilians died in about 50 American attacks on specific targets in civilian neighborhoods in efforts to kill Saddam Hussein and other fugitive leaders. None of those strikes achieved their purpose, even though U.S. forces were tracking the targets through intercepted phone calls and other intelligence information, it said. More news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Moose are getting trashy in Anchorage. The long-legged beasts that have snacked on your garden and nibbled away at your favorite trees are now turning to your trash in what may be the city's newest wildlife problem. A few moose have apparently learned to rip open garbage bags and raid trash containers. It's an unexpected twist to a similar issue involving bears during the summer. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
What an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's my fiance for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Here's a new political slogan with some integrity and democratic gravitas to it. Let's run government like a government. This is, of course, the opposite of the tired, old, tried, and failed slogan that politicians of both parties have been pushing for years. We'll run government like a business. The Clintonites used this in the 90s with their Reinventing Government campaign, declaring that government agencies should become efficient business operations and treat people as customers. Oh? Efficient like what? The mammoth insurance company bureaucracies, or maybe the military contractors who waste and defraud us of billions of our tax dollars? And do they mean customer treatment like we get from don't-give-a-damn banks and telephone companies? Today we have a fully corporatized White House run by former CEOs, including Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld and company. They're literally running government through such standard corporate practices as operating in secret, twisting tax laws to benefit the elite, opposing public disclosure and right-to-know laws, shutting out dissenters and dissing dissent itself, rigging the regulatory rules for corporate gain, stomping on labor, running roughshod over the environment, disempowering consumers, and using advertising gimmicks to hide their deceits. It's time to get real. Government is not a business, and we are not customers. We're citizens. Far from being passive consumers of governmental policies, we're the sovereign powers who can make or unmake those policies. Corporations, by their very nature, are exclusive private empires that exist to serve the bottom line of the wealthiest investors, including the CEOs. Everyone and everything else be damned. That's no model for a democracy. This is Jim Hightower saying, America's founders knew that corporate power was anathema to the public interest and to the democratic will of the people. So they created a framework to run government like a government. It's time to put those democratic principles into action again.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday evening, as the man says. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES. 800-825-5937. If you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Don't forget to check out the website, MikeMalloy.com. You know, we were talking before the program, Kathy and I. Karl Rove really should get George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld together and go over some notes before they speak at public events on the same day. That way they could avoid embarrassing contradictions, as happened today. Rumsfeld told the National Conference of State Legislators that there was no overpayment to Halliburton. Then Bush comes out and says the Pentagon suspected an overpayment, and he expected Halliburton to return the money. Plus, we'll get into that, plus an interesting transcript of Rumsfeld at a Denny's restaurant that we'll share with you. No, he's not buying OxyContin. He's ordering breakfast. A couple of items first and a few emails here from Arlington, Texas. A former Miss Teen Texas whose platform was urging young people to abstain from drinking was convicted 2 days ago of public intoxication. I'm sorry, these stories just always crack me up. Jurors in Arlington Municipal Court deliberated 10 minutes before finding this 18-year-old Julia Anderson guilty of a misdemeanor, of drunk driving. She was fined $126 in order to perform 12 hours of community service. Her driver's license will be suspended for 30 days. The Miss Teen Texas voluntarily surrendered her title after the arrest, about 2 weeks after she won the pageant. But she says she's going to appeal. She says, I'm not guilty of this, and I want to get my name cleared. I was hoping I would win. Officers testified that they found young Miss Anderson sitting in a car with a plastic cup that held orange juice and liquor. Well, see, that's not drunk driving in the South. That's not drunk. Here in the South, oh, hell no. That's not Yeah, that's breakfast to go. You know, that's just, especially if you're a teen beauty queen. An Arab-American waiter who reported for work at a Hyatt Regency hotel in Baltimore last week, last Friday, as a matter of fact, was sent home. He was supposed to wait tables while Bush was there. He was sent home because the U.S. Secret Service believed he posed a security threat. He's a Syrian-born Muslim who entered the United States in 1992, became a citizen in 1996. His name is Mohammed Farouan. He was supposed to serve lunch at a banquet where Bush raised $1 million for his election campaign. Mr. Farouan was escorted from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Baltimore, where he has worked for 7 years, after just one question from the manager. The question was, "Is your name Mohammed?" Now, after initially denying involvement, the lying bastards at the Secret Service admitted that, yes, they were responsible for sending Mr. Farouan home. However, a spokesman for the Secret Service said he was not sent home because he's an Arab or because he's Muslim. He was sent home because there was confusion over a work schedule. Did you know that? The Secret Service now gets involved in confusions over who's supposed to show up to work on a certain day. However, Mohammed Farouan said the schedule had been distributed a week in advance and his name had been supplied to the Secret Service for background checks. By the way, Mr. Farouan has never been in trouble for anything. But he has that first name, Mohammed. Now, if his name had been Jesus, or how do they pronounce it, Jesus, I don't think that would have happened. Do you think, Kathy? Rush Limbaugh. We have a Limbaugh update from the New York Daily News. This is from yesterday. Limbaugh's spin team has come up with a secret plan to save the pig man after he has admitted he was addicted, still is, to painkillers, and is probably going to get some into some serious legal trouble. But they've got a plan here. The plan involved having Bob Dole, Senator Bob Dole, former Senator Bob Dole, write a letter, supportive letter, to Newsweek magazine. Bob Dole had offered to help Limbaugh. What happened was the New York Daily News got a hold of an October 13th memo to Premier Radio Network's president, Craig Kitchen. That is the network that syndicates Limbaugh. That is a network owned by Clear Channel. The memo recommended during a survey. This is from the president, Craig Kitchen, president of Premier, Craig Kitchen. He says in the memo, "We ought to do a survey of Russia's listeners to gauge their reaction to Limbaugh's admission. Let's see how the ditto heads feel about this." The memo says, quoting Craig Kitchen, Craig Kitchen says, "If results are positive, we can use PR with stations, advertisers, and media. If the results are not positive, we don't have to say anything." You understand what's going on here? Sure you do. The memo also urges Premier Radio Network's president to send a memo to Congress and to keep Congress updated on coverage, advertiser, and affiliate feedback. Congress.
"Well, I'm just an entertainer. I don't have anything to do with the Republican Party. I'm just an entertainer."
What else? Confronted with this memo, a spokeswoman for Limbaugh, Kevin Bellows, said the Congress she was referring to,
"Send a memo to Congress with updates on coverage of advertising."
The Congress she was really referring to was the senior management team at Premier Radio Networks.
Not the U.S. Congress.
Oh, no, of course not. We just use the word Congress when we talk about Premier Radio Networks. As for Bob Dole, Ms. Bellows said, Ms. Bellows said Dole offered to help. After Newsweek did an
unflattering story
about Limbaugh's addiction and the criminal investigation of his suppliers, Bob Dole did not return a call here for a comment to the Daily News staff. Blah, blah, blah. Limbaugh has not been charged with a crime and repeatedly has denied being the target of the Florida investigation probing black market painkiller street drug ring. Of course he denies it. Of course he denies it. I like this part. His team sprang into action after fearing that Limbaugh, who once called for jailing junkies, might be branded a hypocrite and lose the loyalty of his right-wing listeners. His spokeswoman, Bellows, Ms. Bellows, also wrote, post a call to action on Rush's website, telling his audience that the best way they can support him is to stay tuned to his local station. Let the station know that they're listening to the program. And in addition to providing addresses for Rush's fans to send letters, Ms. Bellows recommended getting the message out that Limbaugh's advertisers would stay loyal to the show. The memo states, assuming an outpouring of protest, we will alert the Wall Street Journal. A short time later, investigators in Florida's Palm Beach County, where Limbaugh lives in Splendor, seized his medical records and suggested he went doctor shopping. It was the first sign Limbaugh could face criminal charges for buying black market drugs. Oh, I thought you were supposed to call them prescription drugs. No, Mike, they're black market drugs. Oh, by the way, next week a judge will decide whether these medical records should be made public. Oh, also yesterday, actually on Wednesday, the National Enquirer, one of our favorite sources here at the Malloy Program, the National Enquirer reported that, quote, the police web is tightening around Rush Limbaugh, and he could be arrested in days. But Limbaugh's lawyer, Roy Black, famed criminal defense attorney, yesterday called that tabloid story a pure fabrication and a thinly veiled attempt to destroy Mr. Limbaugh's reputation and career. My client is nothing more than a hapless junkie. Why are they trying to destroy his career? He's no better than any other junkie. I just added that last part. Limbaugh update. I'll tell you what. The angels will be singing in heaven the day the police march in. Look, make him do a perp walk like they did with Michael Jackson, right? Poor Michael Jackson. I'm sorry for the nose noises here. I'm still dealing with the way they did Michael Jackson with his hands cuffed behind him and his head down and marched him into the police station house there in wherever it was in California. That has to, I would almost give my job to see that on television. Rush Limbaugh. Handcuffed. Because he is. He's part of an international drug conspiracy, for God's sake. That's the allegation. He supports terrorists. Well, that's what Ashcroft and Bush and everybody has said. If you buy illegal drugs, you support terrorists. Right? He's been accused of money laundering. Isn't that what the terrorists do? They launder money so they can come and blow up our buildings? Is Limbaugh not a part of this? I say he is. But it would just be, just some kind of a thrill. It really would. Oh, beat me, kick me, flay me, make me do bad talk radio. I don't care what you think of me when I say this, but it would be a thrill. I would just love it. Limbaugh doing a perp walk. Or is it a pimp walk? I don't know anymore. Doing a perp walk into a police station in Southern California. I hope they wait until summer, where it gets real hot in Palm Beach County, so that he'll sweat. I would like to see that. I wonder if they would run that bit of film, a videotape, over and over again like they did Clinton and Monica at the rope line. You think so? Does that make you sweat, Kathy? Is that...
I didn't have my mic open.
Oh, what did you say?
I said, I imagine with the amount of methadone he's taking, he's sweating a lot anyway.
Is he taking methadone?
I have no idea. The first couple of days on the air, he just sounded wired for sound, so I was just suspecting.
I would think that would be Ritalin, wouldn't it? Oh, well, one doesn't know about the pig man, but I have a feeling we soon will.
This is my private life. I've got no friends to fear. I've got no problems, no cause to bear. If you can find me, come get me out of here. This is my private place. Hidden in the closet. This is my private place. Can you get me out of here?
In 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffy nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The Limbaugh theme song, huh?
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
I would like to just keep that music going and kick back and drink some of this NyQuil. And
one pill makes you larger.
24 fast the hour. Actually, it's DayQuil. We do this program, well, here in the East, it's fairly late at night. And if you drink NyQuil, it would just, you know, nod time. I love Robitussin. I grew up in a neighborhood where anything that happened to you, it was Robitussin. That's what they gave you, Robitussin. But that stuff makes me go to sleep. Before we get to some of the emails that came in here in the past, 48 hours, I saw this in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Mannheim Steamroller Christmas Concert. It's going to be held at the arena at Gwinnett Center. It's a big new music venue here in Metro Atlanta, one of the collar counties. Huge, huge place. The little blurb says, florid, heavily synthesized holiday tunes. 7:30 p.m., Gwinnett Center, yada, yada, yada. And the ticket prices, $25 to $87. $87 to see Mannheim Steamroller? Oh, my God. Victor sent this in. Mike, I know that you and I have been driven to the point of despair by the criminal actions taken by the criminal and corrupted leaders in control of our beloved country at the present time. I do not want to believe it, but it is the truth. Our country has turned into a monster, a bloodthirsty monster. I am sending you a quote by H.L. Mencken. Share it with your listeners. All right, Victor, here's the quote. The notion that a radical is one who hates his country is naive and usually idiotic. He is more likely one who loves his country more than the rest of us and is thus more disturbed than the rest of us when he sees it debauched. He's not a bad citizen turning to crime. He's a good citizen driven to despair. The what was he called? The poet, the prophet, the sage of Baltimore? Is that what it was? Sage of Baltimore? From Tom, this is referencing last night. Splendid show tonight. I appreciate your interesting position on wanting to ban all political ads from radio and television. I hadn't heard anyone talk about it before. It makes a lot of sense, and I agree with you. It seems that rampant advertising can only ever be about lies and thus can only result in increasing the level of ignorance in a population. Being misinformed is so much worse than being uninformed. Thanks, Tom. But taking a different tack, Diane in Florida says, Mike, I never thought I'd disagree with you, but I do. The Supreme Court decision is an abridgment of free speech. The answer to the problem of the rich having such an overpowering voice on radio television is equal time. If some group puts an ad on television or radio, the opposition gets equal time, for free. Every time an entity pays for an ad on radio or television, they do so with the awareness that the opposition is going to get equal airtime without paying for it. The reason radio and television turned into such propaganda tools was the loss of the equal time regulation. Let's fix that instead of abridging our rights, because I want the groups I back to have the right to speak in any medium they choose. That's from Diane in Florida. Well, the only thing I would add to that or comment on that particular email is that you cannot force a private commercial venture like radio or television to carry a free ad. I mean, it can't be done. I don't think. Maybe it could. In Bush's America, I guess everything could be done. Have we got time for this? No, we don't, do we? Probably not. All right, in the few seconds we have left in this segment, Shelby Lepre over at radiopower.org has asked me to ask you, it's that time of month again, go to radiopower.org. It is an incredible site, and Shelby provides programming for just a number of programs, not just talk radio, but also rock and roll and music and all kinds of stuff. She only does this through donations. Please help. You know, we talked last night about rich liberals. There has to be a couple of rich liberals listening to this program. Write a check for $5,000 and send it to Shelby. If that's not you, write a check for $20 or use PayPal and get in touch with her. Will you please? Please. Radiopower.org.
There's room in this land for every race. Some folks think that freedom just ain't right. Those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching. Yes.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
world's environmental problems seem ever larger, but an author says people should think small. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A popular bumper sticker urges you to think globally, act locally. But focusing too much on the world's big problems can make you feel like giving up, according to David Suzuki. He's an award-winning scientist and co-author of a new book called Good News for a Change.
Environmentalists get into the rut of constantly warning that the sky is falling, you know, that we're going into global warming, ozone depletion, deforestation, desertification. And we get locked into the mentality that it's crisis, 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 and we've got to respond to it. But we don't spend, I think, enough time saying, what are the alternatives? Are there, in fact, solutions? Or are we just on an irreversible path that we can't get off?
Suzuki says we can turn things around, but time is running out.
There is absolutely no doubt that we have changed the makeup of the atmosphere, that the planet is getting warmer, and that we are causing imminent catastrophic consequences.
Suzuki says people must find ways to change their households and their communities without losing heart.
If you keep focusing on the global picture, it is so huge and so overwhelming, it tends to paralyze you. People feel totally disempowered because they feel insignificant. So it's important to understand that we're in a global eco-collapse, but we've got to be focused locally because otherwise one is rendered helpless.
Suzuki says people should contact elected officials about the big issues and work on things they can change close to home. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
No, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To the Flying Monkey Right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. A couple more emails here, and then we get to the reason for our existence. You know, regular topics. But I'd like to kind of bring some of these to the program. This is from Leah, who happens to be our Helena, Montana bureau chief. Mike, sorry I can't listen to you live and call in, but I listened to your show on the internet and still love it. I wanted to tell you about my kids' winter program that I saw yesterday in school. She's talking about winter program. We used to call it Christmas program. I guess you can't do it anymore. Leah writes, the theme referred to all the different colors, quote, quote, of December and paid notice to Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Latin American traditions, and, of course, Christmas. It was cute, but the last number had me in tears. This song the kids sang was called Hearts Around the World and featured the kids assigning the words as well as singing them. The words made me feel so sad because they spoke of caring about the world and spreading love. My 7-year-old daughter is a fervent idealist and truly believes the words of the song. My sadness is how she is naive to the fact that we're all complicit as Americans to spreading horror, death, and suffering around the world. I, cynically and angrily, whispered to my husband, it should be bombs around the world. And he just scowled at me.
True, it was quite humorless of me, but I am so frustrated by my powerlessness to stop the murder and terrorism by our present administration. I don't say anything to my daughter that would stem her idealism, but it breaks my heart to know the terrible burden that she and her generation will inherit. I can only hope that she won't be angry at our generation for allowing this to happen. I guess I can only implore the divine forces of this world to stop this madness, and I will be most fervent in my pleas this holiday season. Leah, our Helena, Montana Bureau Chief. Yeah, the kids' idealism, oh, can be a heartbreaker, can't it? From Nelson in Syracuse, who called in the last night about the kind of got us started on the Supreme Court ruling. Or I'm sorry, about Howard Dean. Nelson says, Mike, I listened to the rest of your show last night after I called, hoping that a Dean supporter would call in response to my question. Maybe it wasn't clear that I was making a challenge. Whenever an airborne ape... flying monkey calls the program, you ask, what has George Bush done for you? Or name one thing that Bush has done that isn't a failure. Well, my question, Nelson writes, for Dean supporters is this: can you tell me one plank in Dean's platform that is closer to the principles of the Democratic Party than Kucinich's? If not, then you're supporting the wrong man. And whether Mike Malloy agrees with me or not, you're supporting him because of the constant drone of Dean's the one coming out of the corporate media. Constant media focus on Dean, good, bad, or indifferent, still puts out the message that Dean is the only one worth focusing on. How can you say that that isn't the media selecting our candidate for us? How can anyone who watched the last debate not see that Koppel tried to turn it into the Howard Dean Show? If the media didn't want Dean to be the Democratic nominee, they would ignore him. I think the best way for the media to assure a Dean nomination is to pick on him as much as possible. In other words, Nelson writes, we're being duped again. I see Dean in one of two lights. He is another Clinton-esque Republicrat who will allow the media to attack him as another amoral liberal while he further shreds the social safety net and amasses even more executive power to hand to the next appointed thug, or he is another Al Gore who will, once nominated, do as much as possible to lose the election and brand the Democratic Party once and for all as useless and dead. And finally, Mike, I heard you concede our country last night. You said this country will never again elect a liberal. That leaves us with Republicans or Republican light. Pick your poison. Nelson from Syracuse. Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, and I hate, like Leah in her email talking about her own cynicism, even in the presence of her child and other 7-year-olds singing wonderful Christmas songs or holiday songs or whatever they were. But Nelson... I honestly believe this country will never again elect a liberal. Not unless, and here's the only qualifier I'll put on it, if it can be shown to a majority of the American people that voting for a conservative is voting for the end of this country, the end of our democratic small-d institutions, the end of our electoral system, the end of our economic system, the end of our global respect and our global cooperation, and possibly the end of human life on the planet as we know it, because George Bush and the peanut crowd that manipulates him are hell-bent on using tactical nuclear weapons. So if my comment was overtly cynical, which I guess it was, Nelson, I still stand by it. I really do. The only qualifier is if we voters, not you and me, Nelson, not most of the people who listen to this program, but the people who comprise that 52, 53, 56, 58% who think George Bush is an honest man and a good leader, until the day those people come out of the fog, no, we won't elect a liberal. There has been an ongoing campaign now
for about 12 years. Interesting how it just dovetails perfectly with the bloody career of Rush Limbaugh, the dope-addled career of Rush Limbaugh. There has been about a 12-year campaign to discredit and denigrate liberals and distort the historical record in this country of what liberals have done. And it's been damned effective. It's been damned effective. Okay, from, I don't know who this is from. It says, drugs. Now, we can't bring any drugs in from Canada, right? But we can import a couple of kilos of flu vaccine from some countries who hate America, especially now that we have excluded them from rebuilding Iraq. While we have Powell over there asking him to forgive the debt owed by Iraq, does this border on lunacy? Yeah, it does. It's from BLKFEA. Yeah, borders on lunacy. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other night. You know, we can't accept pharmaceutical pills and stuff for people who want to save the money from Canada because, as the FDA says, well, you know, we can't guarantee the safety of those pills, even though they're made by the same damn companies. We still can't get the real reason is we, you know, have a huge debt to the pharmaceutical industry for backing Too Stupid to Be President. But this is what we're going to tell you. We can't guarantee the safety of those drugs. The purity and, you know, that. But somehow they can guarantee the safety and purity of vaccines coming. Oh, never mind. There I go again, trying to point out the idiocy of what they say. June is calling from Davenport, Iowa. Hey, June, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling in regard to the fellow that called about Dean.
The email that I just read, Nelson in Syracuse?
Yes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Okay.
I heard him last night, too.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, here in Iowa, we get up close and personal.
Yes, you do.
And, I mean, I've met every one of them. And Dean is the only one that I would support.
Uh-huh.
Mainly because he's not back in the main street, or the mainstream Democrats. The DLC has lost us how many elections?
Well, if you count the congressional elections for both the Senate and the House and the presidential election, just a hell of a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is out of that mainstream, and he wants to bring the base back. And that's the only reason I am supporting him, because that DLC's got to go.
Well, what about, and this is not a challenge at all, June, I'm just curious. What about the fact that Dennis Kucinich takes the same stance on that particular issue as Howard Dean, and yet Dennis Kucinich is really a liberal Democrat? And there's just a mile of separation between Kucinich and Dean, between Kucinich and all the rest of them.
Well, I have reservations because Dennis is going to jump in with both feet, and there's not a thing he's going to be able to do. You know?
Well,
I like the things that he's saying, but I don't think that he'll be able to do the things that he says he wants to do. The establishment is not going to let him.
Well, but that's what they said about Dean, that the establishment would not let him. Remember, Dean, until he got the endorsement from Al Gore, has been treated like a leper by, and still will be, by the DLC, Terry McAuliffe.
The DLC doesn't want him.
Right.
Because he's not going to follow their guideline, and that's the reason Al Gore, because he knew what happened to him. And as far as being disloyal to Lieberman, did anyone remember what Lieberman said after the election about Al Gore?
What did he say?
Well, he came out and almost accused Al Gore of screwing up the election.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I can't remember exact words. But
yeah, well, I don't think any real Democrat sees anything in the Lieberman, candidacy at all.
No, because he's too much of a Republican. He's backed the Republicans all along.
Hasn't he?
So, no.
Okay, well, June, I appreciate that. I'm sure Nelson's listening tonight. I appreciate your rebuttal.
All righty.
All right, thank you. Take care. I could say the obvious about Kucinich. If all of the people If all of the people who said, well, you know, I really like Kucinich's point of view. He really is a Democrat. He really is a liberal. But, you know, he doesn't have any support. If all the people who said that would support him, you see what I'm saying? Well, of course you do. Of course you do. I think that's the point that Bill wants to make. He's calling from Yukon, Oklahoma. Hey, Bill.
Hey. Kucinich is perfectly electable. I mean, I don't think that most of the people I know would have any problem with his platform or what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
The I've gone through much of what your listeners have gone through, despair, frustration, being pissed off and that sort of thing. The tack that I'm taking and what I'm suggesting for more people is that rather than railing on the media, become part of the media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
For example, what I did was I latched onto BART Cop and
right.
created a site off of BART Cop, and I go out there and I write.
Mm-hmm.
I converse with people that hate my guts constantly. That's sort of thing. You know,
I admire your fortitude. I can't do that. I used to be able to do that. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You just, I mean, it can wear on you and that sort of thing. But basically what I'm saying is that...
create your own media.
We need to be the media.
Yeah, that makes
sense. We need to be the media. I mean, the Internet provides that opportunity. I mean, we can write.
Mm-hmm.
We can call.
That's right.
We can talk. And the only problem Kucinich has in my mind is the media.
Yeah, I happen to agree with that. In all its various forms, whether it's Ted Koppel or the New York Times or the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, doesn't make any difference, or CNN, they do determine where the cameras are going to be focused. They will focus on Al Sharpton because they think he's funny. They will focus on Carol Moseley Braun because she is unique. They will focus on Gephardt because he has the backing of the, or he expected to have the backing of the unions. They'll focus on Dean because he's a superior organizer and has tremendous grassroots support. And I don't take that away from Dean at all. And so it goes. But when it comes to Dennis Kucinich, I mean, here is a guy. He's a member of the House from Ohio. He's got a very interesting political career. He is the only person who stood up to Diebold in Congress. Bev Harris, of course, with BlackBoxVoting.com, and Greg Palast led the way on that. But here's Dennis Kucinich. Who is doing something? And what do they talk about? They talk about the 80 women who sent him an email and said, "Can I be your date?" That's what the media does. They have denigrated his campaign. I'm not saying that they should back him any more than they should back anybody, but they should cover him. All they have done is denigrated his campaign. And as a result, I think a lot of us Democrats who understand what the Democratic Party is about are backing Dean because that's where the spotlight is. When Dennis Kucinich really is the liberal Democrat, and I don't think he's all that liberal anyway. I think he's a Democrat. If that means liberal, if that's not a redundancy, it never used to be. Then that's Kucinich. But the spotlight doesn't fall on him.
And I think, you know, the connect point, I think, with Dean is he's angry because we're all angry.
Yeah, we all are.
And we're sitting here in a fishbowl looking out and watching the adults walk around managing everything, but we can't get out of the fishbowl. And I've puzzled over this, and what I'm proposing is that if we're going to put bucks into an operation, let's put bucks into media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And let's hammer the status quo.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Yep, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. One of the things about Howard Dean that I completely relate to is his anger.
Really, Mike? You?
Yeah, I relate to that anger. Dennis has the same amount of anger, I'm sure. But Dennis Kucinich is—I don't think I'm wrong about this. He's much more laid back regarding that anger. He sees it the same way Howard Dean does. The rest of these guys, all of them, and gal, to me, are just phony baloney. I'm sorry, they are. There is honest, genuine rage against the machine that you see in Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich. But Dean puts it out there. more obviously. And that's why I, you know, connect with the man. But Dennis Kucinich is still my candidate. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on.
There.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour, David is calling from Victorville, California. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. I won't take up too much of your time, but I just got to tell you this. Can you actually imagine? Could you actually imagine Laura Bush saying Jones? never mind. But
I know. That's why it's funny.
It's hilarious, actually. But never mind. Anyway, In a sense, you can kind of – I was going to speak about something else, but since you talked about this for the last couple of callers, I had to bring this up. You know, I'm a libertarian.
Uh-huh.
I'm a dyed-in-the-wool registered libertarian. I'm from the school – I'm the from the read-my-lips crowd, okay?
Right.
So you can see I've been burned once. I'm not going to be burned twice.
Yeah, you've been burned quite a bit.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Bottom line is that our party for the last 13 years or however long it's been, it doesn't get an opportunity to be on the stage for national or state debate simply because the rationale is we can't win.
Uh-huh.
Well, how can we possibly win if we can't get our message out to people? So we do it in a fashion such as calling talk radio shows. But more important than that, you see the struggle that somebody. Dennis Kucinich was the only one honest enough to stand up and say that he would actually decriminalize marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I actually think that he would do that, I don't, personally. I think that's just more pandering, if you want to know the truth.
Well, he doesn't have the power as president. We don't live in a monarchy. Not yet. Bush wants that.
Well,
but he could use what Teddy Roosevelt called the bully pulpit to prevail upon people. But Yeah, anytime I hear a politician say, I would decriminalize or I would do that, I think to myself, well, no, wait a second. Under our system, you have some influence, but you can't do it on your own. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Thank you. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing. Are you still there? No, I guess he hung up. What I was going to add. As far as libertarians not being able to get elected, I think about Ron Paul. Wasn't Ron Paul a presidential candidate on the Libertarian Party? Ron Paul from Texas switched to the Republican Party and got elected. He's a member of Congress from Texas, but he is certainly a maverick or a renegade Republican. He drives a Republican delegation in Texas and I think through most of the country, just crazy, because he is a libertarian as opposed to being a real Republican. So, you know, sometimes you do have to put on the camo and disguise yourself to get elected. That's the way it is in this country, right? All right, quick break. We'll be back. Coming up after the break, your phone calls, but also the latest fun with Christians here in Georgia. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Iraqi rebels fired a salvo of mortar shells at coalition headquarters early Friday in an incident that highlighted their ability to strike the seat of U.S. power in Iraq. There were no injuries in the attack, and only light damage was reported to a building in the so-called Green Zone, the downtown area housing the headquarters of the U.S.-led coalition, a military spokesman said. It was the first such attack since U.S. forces mounted a massive counteroffensive in Baghdad last month, dubbed Operation Iron Hammer, aimed at preventing strikes against the coalition's military and civilian targets. A Pentagon audit has found Vice President Dick Cheney's former company may have overcharged the Army $1.09 per gallon for nearly 57 million gallons of gasoline delivered to citizens in Iraq, senior defense officials say. Auditors found potential overcharges of up to $61 million for gasoline that a Halliburton subsidiary delivered as part of its no-bid contract to help rebuild Iraq's oil industry. Many Democrats have also criticized the Halliburton contracts, suggesting they were a political payoff for a company with strong ties to the GOP and whose executives gave generously to the Bush campaign. Cluster munitions fired by U.S. and British forces killed or wounded more than 1,000 Iraqi civilians during the invasion last spring and continue to inflict casualties among the population, a study by a leading human rights group says. In addition to these preventable losses, Human Rights Watch said dozens of civilians died in about 50 American attacks on specific targets in civilian neighborhoods in efforts to kill Saddam Hussein and other fugitive leaders. None of those strikes achieved their purpose, even though U.S. forces were tracking the targets through intercepted phone calls and other intelligence information, it said. A Time magazine reporter suffered severe shrapnel wounds and lost his hand when he tried to throw away a grenade tossed into a Humvee he was riding in with a Time photographer and two U.S. soldiers, colleagues said Thursday. Time's senior correspondent Michael Weisskopf and contributing photographer James Nakwe were traveling with a U.S. Army patrol in Baghdad Wednesday night when the attack occurred, a statement from Time managing editor Jim Kelly said. The soldiers also were wounded, the U.S. military said, but gave no further information. More news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Thieves stole the nose horn from a stuffed rhinoceros in a Norwegian museum, leading to fears that the horn was likely ground into a powder prized as an aphrodisiac in Asia. Thieves broke into the Bergen Museum on Norway's west coast and used an angle grinder to remove the horn from the rhino, which had been part of the museum's collection for more than a century. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Well, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's my fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Here's a new political slogan with some integrity and democratic gravitas to it. Let's run government like a government. This is, of course, the opposite of the tired, old, tried, and failed slogan that politicians of both parties have been pushing for years. We'll run government like a business. The Clintonites used this in the 90s with their Reinventing Government campaign, declaring that government agencies should become efficient business operations and treat people as customers. Oh? Efficient like what? The mammoth insurance company bureaucracies, or maybe the military contractors who waste and defraud us of billions of our tax dollars? And do they mean customer treatment like we get from don't-give-a-damn banks and telephone companies? Today, we have a fully corporatized White House run by former CEOs, including Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and company. They're literally running government through such standard corporate practices as operating in secret, twisting tax laws to benefit the elite, opposing public disclosure and right-to-know laws, shutting out dissenters and dissing dissent itself, rigging the regulatory rules for corporate gain, stomping on labor, running roughshod over the environment, disempowering consumers, and using advertising gimmicks to hide their deceits. It's time to get real. Government is not a business, and we are not customers. We're citizens. Far from being passive consumers of governmental policies, we're the sovereign powers who can make or unmake those policies. Corporations, by their very nature, are exclusive private empires that exist to serve the bottom line of the wealthiest investors, including the CEOs. Everyone and everything else be damned. That's no model for a democracy. This is Jim Hightower saying, America's founders knew that corporate power was anathema to the public interest and to the democratic will of the people. So they created a framework to run government like a government. It's time to put those democratic principles into action again.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by... Two of
by...
them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Back 7:07. Got an email during the break from Mark, our St. Joseph, Michigan bureau chief. Mike, please note that this is the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in Bush versus Gore, also known as the Day Democracy Died. God, it's been 3 years. December 12th, 2000. Yeah, that's right. Mark writes, am I over it yet? I will never again, Mark writes, have the respect for the Supreme Court of the United States that I had on December 11th, 2000. The Thelonious Five destroyed that forever 3 years ago today. Boy, time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? We had, we'd only been on this network 2 months when that happened, right? Yeah. But it's not about you, Mike. It's about the country. That's right. And it's thanks for reminding us, Mark. I guess it's just awful. That's right. That decision. That the rights of the voters in Florida weren't worth a damn. Paul is calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. The reason why I'm calling, a few things I want to say. First of all, to your libertarian caller who was on just before the break, I briefly talked on the radio with, I believe, the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a liberal, all right? I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. But this guy actually called unions thugs. And ever since then, man, I'm sorry, man. I just, I hate libertarians now. Anybody who calls a union a thug is no, I don't even want to share the same air as that person. The reason why I'm supporting Dean is that he's got an agenda that can actually pass Congress. As much as I agree with all Kucinich's plans, there's no way he's going to be able to withdraw from GATT. There's no way he's going to be able to get a universal health care plan passed. There's no way the environmental regulations, because in this country, anything to the left of Mussolini is considered, you're really out there left-wing nutball.
Yeah.
And you know what, Dean? It's like all this stuff can pass. He's the only one who I've heard the speech address the problems of peak oil. He's, you know, the expansion of the federal plan to cover of the government's health care plan to cover all Americans. I mean, that can pass. And he's got, and the final reason, this is the clincher for me, the reason why I'm really supporting Dean with really my heart and soul. When George W. Bush goes to the ATM machine for his campaign, he puts his little card in there and he doesn't see a number, all right? What he sees is a little mathematical symbol for infinity, okay?
Right.
And if you're going to go up against that, you're going to need a grassroots campaign that can disseminate and get rid of disinformation the moment that Karl Rove releases it.
Right.
It's going to be absolutely positively critical for somebody to be able to do that. And Dean can do it. He has done it. He's kicking serious patootie. I think he's going to be a good candidate. There's one more thing I want to say, that why it's important we have to have grassroots with the Dean campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Republican National Convention is going to be in September, right?
Right.
Now, it's even more evil than you think, because the month before the election is going to happen, now the Democrats are going to have to buy advertising campaign to compete with football, to compete with the Olympics, to compete with the solemn stuff that's going on for September 11th.
Right.
And Karl Rove will not need to spend one single dime to make the national media pay attention to him, because the Republican National Convention is going to be in that September.
Right.
So without the grassroots that only Dean has, we are doomed to another Gestapo for another 4 years. And thank you for listening, Mike. I'll let you comment.
All right, Paul, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Paul makes a good case. Any Dean supporter I have talked to makes a good case for their candidate, and I respect that. And I said the other night, I respect the fact that that Howard Dean, exclusive of all the candidates, even the one I backed, Dennis Kucinich, Howard Dean got that grassroots organizing thing down beautifully. And the support from the organizers is one thing to be in support of somebody emotionally. It's something else again to be in support of them with your money, with physical organizations, with meetings, the meetups, and the leafleting, and the hard work that the Dean campaign has put together. Dean's prominence in this race is not at this point. No, let me back up. His prominence developed not because media was focusing on him at first, but because his people worked their asses off to put together this campaign. Dean worked under the radar long before people were aware of the organizational stuff that was going on in the Howard Dean campaign. He and his people, and by his people, I mean the volunteers, the people who went to work for him, we're already out there organizing and putting things together. Nobody can fairly take anything away from the Dean campaign. While I back Dennis Kucinich, I have to admit that his organization is not, or it has not been, to the extent that Dean's has been, grassroots. Now, there's probably a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons, and I think the key reason, is simply how Dean has organized his campaign. You got to respect this guy. I think even the Republicans, you know, the Republicans are blowing a lot of smoke like, yeah, we hope it's Dean, we'll kick his ass. I think deep down inside they're terrified of Howard Dean candidacy. This is blowhard nonsense from these right-wing fascists because they understand where Dean's support comes from. Dean's support up to this point has been outside, I don't want to say outside the mainstream, but outside what are the usual parameters for a Republican or a Democratic candidate for damn near anything, and that's corporate sponsorship. But you can say the same thing about Kucinich. The problem I have here, and it's one that I will get over, I'll have to, is that Dennis, to me, truly represents the Democratic Party that I want to support. Howard Dean represents a Democratic Party that I can work with. And I'm trying to hedge here. That's just my gut feeling. You folks who have a gut feeling about the Dean campaign, God bless you, because you have done something that's even forced Al Gore to get on board. I mean, you know, one of the DLC originators, you know, you've captured him. So, again, I have great respect for that. But I've got to stick with my man until such time as not. But again, with the Kucinich campaign, what is heartbreaking to me about the Kucinich campaign is not anything he's done or not done, but it's the fact that I hear so many people, oh God, so many people saying, you know, I really agree with Kucinich's positions, but gosh, he's just not electable, or gosh, his agenda just can't get enacted. You know, if everybody who felt that way would openly and blatantly support Kucinich, and not just Kucinich, but that branch of the Democratic Party that is legitimate, I don't think Joe Biden represents that branch. I don't think Lieberman represents that branch. You know what I'm talking about. Zell Miller sure as hell doesn't represent John Bro. None of these people. But there are Democrats still out there who represent that branch. They're a disappearing breed. Sorry, but that's, you know, this is what got Nelson a little upset with me in the email he sent when I said a liberal can never again be elected president of the United States. It's highly cynical. But I'd like to see it not be the case. But when you consider what it would take to elect a liberal, you know, just a tremendous grassroots movement in this country where 85% to 90% of the American public would go vote. For God's sake, how awful is that to realize that 85% to 90% of the American voting age Americans will not go vote? But poll after poll over the past 50 years has shown that, to a slight degree, more Americans consider themselves Democrat and more Americans consider themselves liberal. Then why is it that we have totally conservative media, totally conservative all three branches of government? Why is that? And the answer is very simple. Because those of us who consider ourselves to be liberal or Democrats who don't vote have so totally, totally screwed the system. We've screwed ourselves. That's all. You know, all of us who say, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat. What, kick in $50 for a campaign? Well, I don't think so. What, take five other people to vote on election? Nah, I don't think. You know, it's raining. After a while, that takes a toll. And I'm not scolding anybody. Everybody does what the hell they want to do. This is, that's just the way it is. But it's very frustrating. That's all I'm trying to say. It's very frustrating. I know so many people who say Dennis Kucinich is the man, but he can't be elected, so I'm going to back Dean. And I don't get that. I realize that's what has happened, but it's very frustrating. And I will back Kucinich as long as it's possible. And when the rubber hits the road, I'll be right there in the Dean camp if Dennis bows out. I will. And not reluctantly. I understand how politics works in this country, just like you do. But again, I just wish everybody who said, I really agree with Dennis Kucinich, but, oh, Lord, if the but just would have been left off, right? Okay, quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Mission Against Right-Wing Rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
You think the same old us taste like glue, the better of us.
24 past the hour. Susan is calling from Santa Cruz, California. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. I want to thank you for sticking in there with Dennis.
Right.
What was that?
I said right.
Right on. You know, as a part of the campaign, as someone who's working in it, I want to draw people's attention to the fact that we are picking up steam everywhere. We're not losing ground. We're actually gaining ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you looked at that Iowa Channel poll where Dennis and Dean have been neck and neck.
No, I've not seen that.
Yeah, there's this Iowa Channel poll.
Okay.
If I can find the email that
send
I have.
Send it to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I will, because they were like 33 and 34 and then 34 and 35. You know, it's like they were neck and neck, so that actually the last time I looked, Kucinich was ahead of point, and the only one close, wasn't even close really, was Wesley Clark at 17.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's happening. There's a woman who is in our campaign who's a young, beautiful musician, and she actually drove across the country from California to Cleveland and got herself made into the national music director for the campaign and has organized 1,000 bands across the country that'll be doing house parties and benefits for Dennis.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of grassroots in this campaign. And something I've been thinking about is, Dean was a very effective governor, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis has an effective record in Congress. He's been a quiet guy working behind the scenes, and he's done a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sits on key committees. I think he sits on the one that oversees FDA and also the one that oversees the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not super political and super knowledgeable about all this stuff, but he was here, and I did listen to him. And I heard what he had to say, and he is phenomenal. Every time I hear him, I see more and more of who he is and what he could really do for us. But as he said himself, it's not just a matter of getting Dennis elected as president of the United States. We have to pull in a whole lot of Democrats with him.
Right.
And we have to keep working, all of us, to change things, not just Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
So for the woman from Iowa who was talking about how she gets, you know, or they in Iowa get up close and personal, I suggest that she really does. And to all the Dean folks out there, I've looked at your campaign and I've listened to Dean, and I suggest that you check in with Dennis. Look at his website. They have whole speeches on there that you can go to with your real players or whatever you have on your computers. And you can listen to him speak. You can really get a sense of who he is. And he's a lot stronger than what he looks like.
Yeah. The other thing, too, and I have to admit, I have not explored any of the other candidates or potential candidates' websites as thoroughly as I've explored Kucinich's. But so this may be true with Howard Dean or Lieberman or somebody else. But with Kucinich, what I have discovered is at his website, he will lay out specific programs for specific ideas, like his tax cut plan that we tried to touch on the other night after the debate, and I think he was a little bit bushed and you know. Couldn't come up with all the specifics of that plan. It's at his website. But that's the thing that impresses me about Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it may be true of Howard Dean's website. I don't know. But Kucinich does say, here's the problem, here's the solution.
Right. He has plans. Actually has plans that he's worked on. And there's something else on a personal note.
Well, let me put you on hold. We'll get the note when we come back, because I've got to take a quick break here. And we'll come right back in just a couple of minutes, Susan. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The world's environmental problems seem ever larger, but an author says people should think small. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A popular bumper sticker urges you to think globally, act locally. But focusing too much on the world's big problems can make you feel like giving up, according to David Suzuki. He's an award-winning scientist and co-author of a new book called Good News for a Change.
Environmentalists get into the rut of constantly warning that the sky is falling, you know, that we're going into global warming, ozone depletion, deforestation, desertification. And we get locked into the mentality that it's crisis, 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 and we've got to respond to it. But we don't spend, I think, enough time saying, what are the alternatives? Are there, in fact, solutions? Or are we just on an irreversible path that we can't get off?
Suzuki says we can turn things around, but time is running out.
There is absolutely no doubt that we have changed the makeup of the atmosphere, that the planet is getting warmer, and that we are causing imminent catastrophic consequences.
Suzuki says people must find ways to change their households and their communities without losing heart.
If you keep focusing on the global picture, it is so huge and so overwhelming, it tends to paralyze you. People feel totally disempowered because they feel insignificant. So it's important to understand that we're in a global eco-collapse, but we've got to be focused locally because otherwise one is rendered helpless.
Suzuki says people should contact elected officials about the big issues and work on things they can change close to home. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're talking with Susan in Santa Cruz, California. And you were going to say about Dennis on a personal note, I believe.
Yeah, personally. I was ushering, and I just at an event here. We had a day when he did about six events.
Uh-huh.
Back to back.
Right.
The man is just as energetic and fresh at the end of the day as he is at the beginning, which is just so amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just happened to be out in the lobby for a moment, and he was just coming in and being ushered up the steps. And I just decided I'd wait and see, you know, if I could say hello.
Right.
And just as he was turning to go, he saw me. And I just stepped up and said, can I, you know, say hello to you? And he said, yes. And, you know, he looks you right in the eyes. He he is right there, totally present with people. I watched this over and over again. He hugged me. He was so real. I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed because when I first saw Dennis, I mean, I don't have any chemistry with him. Like some people say, oh, I have chemistry, like Marianne Williams with Edwards, you know, or this one or that one. It's not chemistry. It goes way beyond that. It's like from the depth of him to the depth of you, soul to soul, he meets you right there. And for anybody to do that in his position, you know, running for the president of the United States is an absolutely amazing
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, that's getting up close and personal, and he will be just as present with everyone he speaks to.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I really suggest that people go out there, get to know who he is. He may very well be the Seabiscuit of this race, and I'm not giving up.
Or he might be the Bill Clinton. In 1991, before the primary started, at this point, Bill Clinton had like a 2%. That's where he was in the polls.
Right.
So
you
never know.
Same thing with Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
He was another, what do they call it, a dark horse?
Dark horse.
Yeah.
You never know. Susan, thanks for checking
you.
In. All right.
Thank you.
You take care. I've never met Kucinich. Have we? We haven't met him, have we? No. We've talked to him on this program several times. But I really get a sense of what Susan's talking about. And again, I'm not trying to diminish anybody else's candidate. I kind of believe in Ronald Reagan's dictum, the 11th commandment, with the exception of Joe Lieberman. You know, not to take shots at other Democrats, especially not now. All right, Zell Miller. Okay, John Bro. All right, look, there's a whole list of Democrats, but you know what I'm saying. But I the thing I noticed about Dennis, and never having met him, just talking with him. See, I call him Dennis behind his back. When he's on the program, I call him Congressman or Mr. Kucinich. But the thing I noticed about Dennis, there's something about this guy that I connect with. I feel it, too, on what did Susan say, like almost a soulful basis. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't feel, like Susan said, I don't feel any chemistry with the guy. But there's just a sense that he is, where it concerns politics, I feel comfortable with this guy. I don't feel that, and I can say this honestly, I don't feel that with any other a politician that I can think of offhand. I think the closest I came to that was knowing a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, Max Cleland here in Atlanta when he was Secretary of State here in Atlanta, and then when he first ran for national office. I had a sense of Max Cleland that way. But that's about it. I can't think of anybody else. So, yeah, I wish people would get to know these candidates better. I agree with Susan on that one. Not just Dennis, but if I know Howard Dean has been out there a lot, pressed a lot of flesh. Bless his heart. He is connected with people. And if you've connected with Howard Dean, good. That's good. Who has connected with Dick Gephardt? Who's connected with, I'm sorry, Wesley Clark? I know a lot of Democrats see Wesley Clark as the man, and you may turn out to be right, but who's connected with Lieberman? You know, how do you do that? As far as Al Sharpton, I guess Al Sharpton you could connect with, but on a different level. I mean, Al Sharpton is somebody that I can't see him as a politician. I can see him as a Ralph Nader type, making sure I'm talking about Nader from his standpoint of being a consumer activist or whatever you want to call it. You know, Nader over the years. I can see Al Sharpton in that manner. I just can't see him as a presidential candidate. And probably part of that is because I live in America, and America is deeply racist. And, you know, the racist tentacles in this country are deeply embedded in me as well as they're embedded in you. And we all know this, okay? If you're white, I'm talking if you're white. So I'm sure that comes into play, too, when I look at Al Sharpton. The reason I can't see Hail to the Chief when I see Al Sharpton is because of the racism that is inherent in me because I'm white and grew up in this country. And like you, I struggle against that day in and day out. And sometimes it beats me, and sometimes I beat it. But it's there. And if you're honest and you're white, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Okay. James is calling from Eureka, California. Hey, James.
Hello. My name's actually Jason, but that's okay.
Oh, hey, Jason. Sorry.
How are you doing? I've been a long-time listener through the White Rose, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Well, thank you, sir. My pleasure.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to bring up my perspective, and it perhaps may help to dispel a pervasive myth in our culture, and it's something that I'm sure you and many of your listeners are aware of.
Well, I like to see myths dispelled. Go for it.
Great. Well, it has to do with media and, of course, the media news and corporate media, and so many of us feel like we have this perspective that's not being disseminated in our culture. You know,
right.
It's not being talked about.
Right.
And what I'd like to bring it down to is major media as a business. And in a business, of course, there's the goods or the service, and we'll call it the product.
Mm-hmm.
We have the manufacturer, and then we have the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, when you ask them, are you the consumer of the media? Who's the consumer of the media? They think we, the public, are. But I contend that no one I know has ever given a dime to NBC or CNN. You know, so,
but
so
don't we consume it in a different way, though? Maybe the wrong word, consume. Maybe it's absorb.
Well, we absorb it, but let me contend that the true consumers of the media are the people who are paying the bills, the advertisers, General Electric, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, what position does that put us in? So we've established who the consumer is, and we've established who the manufacturer is, but what are they making? And what they're making is a product. They're making a product to sell to their consumers. And I think that that product truly is us. And they're trying to, and when media gets to the point where they're looking at the bottom lines instead of this journalistic integrity,
mm-hmm.
I think that they're trying to make the best possible product to sell to their consumers.
Well, I agree with you there. We are what is delivered, hopefully, by advertising to the manufacturer of whatever the product is or whatever the idea is. Yeah, I agree. We are the product or the target, the intended product.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that we're the manufactured product, and I'd like to bring up something you mentioned a few nights ago about small conservative groups protesting your radio show, which first I think is a travesty to the free speech and
Not small groups, rather large ones, but they have knocked this program off of small stations. And I can understand that. That's just the way it goes.
Well, what I would like to say is that these people are actually bad product, and that no business is going to buy bad product. By being complacent, by being apathetic, and by not questioning anything, the people, the public, you know, the demos, has become the perfect consumer of anything, you know, through fear or propaganda or the desire to be sexy or beautiful. You know, we're willing to just buy things at face value. And I think these groups of people showed that they were defective product by calling up and boycotting and saying, you know, we're not going to shop at your stores if you continue to support this business. And I think one of the ways that we could help to essentially take back the media would be to coordinate as bad product. You know, when you hear Rush Limbaugh say something that makes you mad, you call the radio station and call the advertisers. And we need to use that same strategy because no one's going to buy a defective product. And if we can show them that they have slapped us around to the point where we're not going to take it anymore, I believe that we may actually gain some leverage. They're going to stop dumbing us down, per se.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good theoretical proposition or theorem that you're putting out there. I certainly don't disagree with it. It's a little hard to follow. It's a little convoluted. I'm sure people listening are like me, getting a bit confused about, you know, who's the product, who's the manufacturer, who's the targeted audience, so on and so forth. But I tend to understand what you're saying, and I think you make some good points, Jason.
Great, thank you.
All right, this is your first time calling?
Yes, it is, actually.
Well, I hope you're going to call again.
Oh, well, I surely hope to. I'll be with you through thick and thin. But if I could just summarize it in a real crisp, clear way.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, the true consumers of the media are the advertisers because they're paying the bills. And what are they buying? They're buying our viewership. So in order to create a great product, corporations are going to give us the news to shape us to be the perfect consumers. And that's not going to involve talking about socialized medicine or single-payer
right.
medicine. It's not going to be talking about building labor unions. It's not going to be talking about anything that threatens the corporate bottom line because then the corporations are going to stop buying the product.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
All right,
keep up the good work.
All right. I appreciate you checking in, Jason. Yeah, that's when he synopsized it there at the end. Yeah, I can understand that. I'm the product. Deliver me, O Lord, to Coca-Cola. Deliver me, O Lord, to DayQuil. Deliver me, O Lord, to whatever. And I will be a good little Walmart shopper. No, I won't. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. I still think that you have the greatest radio show in the history
of radio.
Of the universe.
Of the universe, right.
And any dimensions that may or may not be known to humankind.
Parallel universe is all of it.
Parallel universe, everything. And somewhere in an alternate universe, Dennis Kucinich is the most popular political candidate ever. Liberals win everything, and Mike Malloy gets 50 million viewers a day. I mean, listeners a day.
But, yeah, I'd love to go there.
Well, unfortunately, even there, the news media doesn't cover any of it.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Look, in a very hypocritical statement that I think ranks right up there with Henry Hyde complaining about Bill Clinton's sex life.
Right.
Did you see Crossfire before? Did you see Crossfire today?
I caught just a tiny bit of it when Novak had his bloomers in a wad about something. What are you referring to?
Bob Novak, and I think it was really hypocritical coming from Bob Novak. He, believe it or not, he actually had the audacity to call Jimmy Carter.
Oh, that's right. I saw that part.
The most mean-spirited person in American politics.
Yeah, Begala shoved a sharp stick in Novak's eye with that one, and the audience applauded what Begala had to say. Bob Novak is losing it. Did you notice, is it just me, or was Bob Novak slurring his words and talking kind of like somebody on OxyContin today? I mean, I just got the feeling that Novak is either doing drugs or he's starting to lose it. I don't know how old the man is.
Here's the guy running around. I still love his excuse for not telling, you know, the FBI who was
right.
the secret source in the White House. You know, oh, I can't tell you who was the source in the White House because I protect secret sources. And yet he gets on air and tells everybody, I mean, he gets in his newspaper column and tells everybody a secret source.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's Bob Novak.
Yeah, I know. You know, you're talking about the presidential candidate campaign, and I'm right with you on Kucinich. I love the guy. I think he's great, and we need a guy like him. I think at least to shake, you know, to give people a chance to listen to somebody who's not the same old nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Joe Lieberman's website. I always go down to the different websites all the time, looking around, see what the different candidates are saying. And,
right.
And I like looking at what they have to say about the gay issues, stuff like that, because I'm gay. And do you know Joe Lieberman doesn't have one word on his website about the gay issues at all?
Well, there's a lot, I would imagine. Like I say, I've not visited. The only website I've really crawled around inside is Kucinich's. But I bet there's a lot of stuff that on Lieberman, on Kerry, on Gephardt, a lot of stuff that is just empty rhetoric or issues that aren't talked about at all.
Well, you know, the thing is what gets me is that one of the debates, Joe Lieberman actually criticized Clark for not being Democrat, and I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Right, right.
This guy is how the heck he's almost. He's almost as bad as John Breaux.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
But you know, I do have, and if you like this news, I want you to promise me I get to be the New Orleans bureau chief.
All right, let me hear it.
Okay, this is a little bit of news that is actually good down here on the bayou.
Yeah.
All right, this is from our Times-Picayune, one
all
of
right.
the first times I've seen anything in it that I like. Apparently, Governor-elect Kathleen Blanco's choice for Senate president, Senator Donald Hines of Bunkie, is going to become the Senate president.
Yeah.
He apparently has the votes to be Senate president. And what's really interesting about that is that he's one of the most liberal people in our state Senate. He only gets a 16% rating from the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. They, the Association of Business and Industry, hate him. He said that these people, he said something, he was quoted to say something of the sort that business people, he can't stand them because they want all the subsidies and they never want to pay taxes.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, good. It sounds like that's my kind of man.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. It looks like that we're actually going to have. I think the only person who's anywhere near as liberal as him is African American senator from Baton Rouge, Cleo Field.
Now, for sharing that, you want to be New Orleans bureau chief.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it. I got a boogie, Robert. You're the New Orleans bureau chief. Take care, pal.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all 4 burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Boy, it's almost time for another break here, top of the hour. If you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get you a call as soon as we come back. I wanted to cover this here in Georgia. You know, the Ten Commandments thing, after what happened in Alabama and the United States Supreme Court and yada, 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 and the disbarment of Judge Moore, not disbarment, but the removal from the bench. Here in Georgia, Barrow County, at the Barrow County Courthouse, they're trying it again. They got these religious icon, the Ten Commandments, up on display, and there's a case being heard by a local judge or a federal judge about removing this. And this federal judge sent a message yesterday to anyone who tries to intimidate those people who are challenging the display of this religious symbolism. Because it's happening. You see, the good Christians, I'm being cynical. The good Christians here in this part of Georgia have decided that if you speak out against the Ten Commandments, they will beat your ass. They will kill you. They will call you a communist pig bastard, and you should burn in hell forever. So the judge is saying, if you keep doing that, I'm going to send you to prison. Senior U.S. District Judge William O'Kelly said his office in Gainesville, Georgia, right here in North Georgia, received threatening phone calls after he ruled last month that Habersham County's displays were unconstitutional and must be removed. It's all over Georgia. These freakoid, snake-handling, lie-drinking, Pentecostal fundamentalist evangelical preachers who have these little churches that have 20 snake-handling parishioners that show up every Sunday. They go around and they stir up the terminally brain-dead. Yeah, they're going to take down the Ten Commandments. Jesus is going to die again unless Satan is going to... You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. It's just awful. O'Kelly, who's a federal judge here for 33 years, said that he was raised by, quote, a very Christian family, end quote. And he said, as for the language used on messages left on his office answering machine, he said, and you have to think this is understatement, it wasn't very Christian, I can tell you that. Well, Judge, that's because my experience has been that 85 to 90% of those who profess to be Christians are hypocritical lion snakes. And someday Jesus is, or God, or somebody, if all this stuff exists, is going to pinch their heads off, toss them into hell, and the demons will use them as soccer balls. Rumsfeld at Denny's and the Halliburton controversy when we return, plus more of your calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A Pentagon audit has found Vice President Dick Cheney's former company may have overcharged the Army $1.09 per gallon for nearly 57 million gallons of gasoline delivered to citizens in Iraq, senior defense officials say. Auditors found potential overcharges of up to $61 million for gasoline that a Halliburton subsidiary delivered as part of its no-bid contract to help rebuild Iraq's oil industry. Many Democrats have also criticized the Halliburton contracts, suggesting they're a political payoff for a company with strong ties to the GOP and whose executives gave generously to the Bush campaign. Iraqi rebels fired a salvo of mortar shells at coalition headquarters early Friday in an incident that highlighted their ability to strike the seat of U.S. power in Iraq. There were no injuries in the attack, and only light damage was reported to a building in the so-called Green Zone, the downtown area housing the headquarters of the U.S.-led coalition, a military spokesman said. It was the first such attack since U.S. forces mounted a massive counteroffensive in Baghdad last month, dubbed Operation Iron Hammer, aimed at preventing strikes against the coalition's military and civilian targets. A Time magazine reporter suffered severe shrapnel wounds and lost his hand when he tried to throw away a grenade tossed into a Humvee he was riding in with a Time photographer and two U.S. soldiers, colleagues said Thursday. Time's senior correspondent Michael Weisskopf and contributing photographer James Nakwe were traveling with a U.S. Army patrol in Baghdad Wednesday night when the attack occurred, a statement from Time managing editor Jim Kelly said. The soldiers also were wounded, the U.S. military said, but gave no further information. Cluster munitions fired by U.S. and British forces killed or wounded more than 1,000 Iraqi civilians during the invasion last spring and continue to inflict casualties among the population, a study by a leading human rights group says. In addition to these preventable losses, Human Rights Watch said dozens of civilians died in about 50 American attacks on specific targets in civilian neighborhoods in efforts to kill Saddam Hussein and other fugitive leaders. None of those strikes achieved their purpose, even though U.S. forces were tracking the targets through intercepted phone calls and other intelligence information, it said. More news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Moose are getting trashy in Anchorage. The long-legged beasts that have snacked on your garden and nibbled away at your favorite trees are now turning to your trash in what may be the city's newest wildlife problem. A few moose have apparently learned to rip open garbage bags and raid trash containers. It's an unexpected twist to a similar issue involving bears during the summer. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Well, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout-out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, the Art of Entertainment.
Oh, it's the night.
fiancé for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Here's a new political slogan with some integrity and democratic gravitas to it. Let's run government like a government. This is, of course, the opposite of the tired, old, tried, and failed slogan that politicians of both parties have been pushing for years. We'll run government like a business. The Clintonites used this in the 90s with their Reinventing Government campaign, declaring that government agencies should become efficient business operations and treat people as customers. Oh? Efficient like what? The mammoth insurance company bureaucracies, or maybe the military contractors who waste and defraud us of billions of our tax dollars? And do they mean customer treatment like we get from don't-give-a-damn banks and telephone companies? Today, we have a fully corporatized White House run by former CEOs, including Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and company. They're literally running government through such standard corporate practices as operating in secret, twisting tax laws to benefit the elite, opposing public disclosure and right-to-know laws, shutting out dissenters and dissing dissent itself, rigging the regulatory rules for corporate gain, stomping on labor, running roughshod over the environment, disempowering consumers, and using advertising gimmicks to hide their deceits. It's time to get real. Government is not a business, and we are not customers. We're citizens. Far from being passive consumers of governmental policies, we're the sovereign powers who can make or unmake those policies. Corporations, by their very nature, are exclusive private empires that exist to serve the bottom line of the wealthiest investors, including the CEOs. Everyone and everything else be damned. That's no model for a democracy. This is Jim Hightower saying, America's founders knew that corporate power was anathema to the public interest and to the democratic will of the people. So they created a framework to run government like a government. It's time to put those democratic principles into action again.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Folks, I'm going to take one more call on this Kucinich-Dean Democratic primary thing, and then we're going to move on. We will revisit this topic, but some other things I've got to cover before the program ends tonight. So, John in Long Beach, California, you get the final word on this particular subject tonight. John?
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
All I wanted to say was, first of all, the only thing that upset me with Kucinich and President Clark is that they're both said that they were signing a bill to outlaw flag burning.
To outlaw what?
Burning the flag.
Oh, burning the flag, right.
And otherwise, I think Kucinich, as I listened to him the other night in that clip, and he sounded great, except for that one thing.
No, I wasn't aware of that. But okay. That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, John. I missed that one. But I trust my man, John. Do you remember the other day, was it yesterday, when Bush was asked a question in the photo op that occurs every morning after he gathers his criminal cabinet around him, and they have the morning, whatever it is, coffee klatch or fart contest, or they sit around and drink coffee. I don't know what they do in there, but it's nothing that furthers the decency of this country or builds the economy or makes us more respected in the world. I don't know what they do when they sit in there. A fart contest? But the media then gets to come in, the crack White House press corps, prior to the meeting, I guess, and ask some of their uh, insightful, incisive questions of Mr. Bush, who gives them his insightful, incisive answers. He was asked the other day, I think it was yesterday, about the charges that his decision to deny any of the contracts to rebuild Iraq to any country that had not assisted in providing the people who did the killing and the dying. In other words, if you didn't come into Iraq and smash things up and bomb people and kill people and attack them under false pretenses, absolute lies, if you didn't do that, and if you haven't had your people shot down or blown up or their arms and legs blown off in the streets like we have and the Italians have and the Poles have, if you haven't done, and the Brits, if you haven't done that, if you haven't helped produce the corpse, you are not going to get a chunk of it to gnaw on. And someone said to him, well, Mr. President, there are some of our allies are saying that that is in contravention of international law. And Bush's response was, international law? I better call my lawyer. He didn't bring that up to me. One of the dumbest-ass comments the man has made. Now, no, I'm not going to get wild here. It's here in the East, it's 10 past 11 o'clock at night, and I'm not going to get all flamed. But it really, how stupid is this turkey? Well, there's some responses to that from some people much more prominent than you and I. For example, Benjamin Ferenc, I believe that's how you pronounce it. He was a prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials for Nazi war crimes. Oh, my God, 60 years ago. How old is this guy, Kathy? He must be ancient. Benjamin Ferenc. But he said, quote, it's a sad commentary when the President of the United States has apparently no knowledge or concern for international law. We said at Nuremberg that we would be bound by laws, that they would apply equally to all. But it's a violation of international law to go to war without the approval of the UN Security Council when you are not under armed attack. The U.S. has violated that in its attack on Iraq as well as other times. The Bush administration has repudiated the International Criminal Court when over 90 nations want to carry on the legacy of the Nuremberg tribunals. But this administration is trying to cripple it in its cradle. End quote. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? I have not. Oh, my God. Bonnie Doherty. She is a researcher in the Arms Division at Human Rights Watch. She's also the co-author of a just-released report entitled Off Target, The Conduct of the War and Civilian Casualties in Iraq. She says, cluster bombs used by the United States killed or wounded more than 1,000 civilians in Iraq. This raises serious concerns under international law. So there's another example for you, too stupid to be president. Jody Williams, 1997 Nobel Peace Laureate for her work on the Mine Ban Treaty, the Landmine Ban Treaty, which now has 141 states as parties to that treaty and an additional 9 signatories to that treaty, but not the United States. She said today, quote, the U.S. military dropped 1.8 million cluster bomblets in Iraq. Most, of course, have exploded, but with a failure rate of some 5 to 10%, too many duds remain active. They are more difficult to deal with in some ways than landmines, and often much more lethal. Mr. Bush's sarcastic comments about international law yesterday when discussing barring some countries from bidding for U.S. construction contracts for Iraq exemplified this administration's my way or the highway approach to diplomacy. It's particularly curious when he has just dispatched James Baker to try to get other countries to forgive Iraq's debt that Bush would make a move to further alienate other countries. We've got to understand that there are 191 countries in the world, not just one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roger Normand, this is the last one. Roger Normand is executive director of the Center for Economic and Social Rights. He says, by expressing contempt for international law, George Bush is simply confirming a policy of dismantling the post-World War II legal order so that the United States can exercise a new and open form of imperial rule unconstrained by recognized principles of justice. It's beyond an embarrassment to have this freak as president of the United States. It is beyond embarrassment. It is criminal. My God, I'm not going to dwell on that because we talk about it all the time. Halliburton. When did we talk about this, Kathy? When did we and the callers discuss this? 3 months ago? And the media now, mainstream media, is finally figuring out,
guess what? Halliburton is overcharging for the gasoline that's going from Kuwait to Iraq.
God, I hate these people. This is, it's out there now. It's in the Chicago Tribune. It's in the New York Times, Washington Post, something you and I talked about months ago. Certainly weeks ago.
Pentagon auditors found Vice President Dick Cheney's former company may have overcharged the Army by as much as $61 million for gasoline in Iraq, senior defense officials said Thursday. The officials said, however, that Halliburton apparently didn't profit from the possible overcharges. God forbid. The problem, the officials said, was that Halliburton may have paid a subcontractor too much for the gasoline in the first place. Yeah, you see. The Pentagon officials said the Halliburton subsidiary involved in Iraq reconstruction work, Kellogg Brown and Root, also submitted a proposal for cafeteria services that was $67 million too high. It must be an oversight.
The defense officials who released this information said they had no reason to believe the problems were anything but
stupid mistakes
by Halliburton.
In response, Halliburton spokeswoman Wendy Hall denied the company had overcharged. She said Halliburton was responding to questions from Pentagon auditors and was, quote, confident our responses will satisfy them, end quote. There's nothing here. Move on. Move on. Keep the traffic going. There are people behind you. Move on.
Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and these major companies of Bechtel that were granted exclusive no-bid contracts. Even that is not good enough for these, here comes a bad word, sons of bitches. For these Republicans, for these rapists, for these eaters of the dead, even no-bid contracts are not enough. They have to turn around and gouge and screw the American taxpayer. We're the ones footing the bill, right? We paid for the bombs to destroy it. We are paying for the reconstruction. All of the money that goes to Halliburton and eventually to Cheney and to the Carlyle Group and the rest of these right-wing snakes and weasels and pigs comes out of your pocket. And mine. Every single dime of it. Oh, by the way, it's also our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and cousins and aunties and uncles who are being killed in Iraq. And it's also they who are doing the killing. Isn't this fun? Huh?
Pentagon officials said they were concerned about Kellogg Brown and Root's contracts, which were awarded without competitive bidding for as much as $15.6 billion, that's billion with a B, for rebuilding Iraq's oil infrastructure and assisting U.S. troops there. About $5 billion has been spent for those contracts so far. Move along. There's nothing going on here. Move along. If you're not for us, you're for the terrorists. Move along. Move along.
Now, Rumsfeld. You'd think these jackasses could get it together, right? But they can't. These are Republicans. And remember, all Republicans are liars. They're sneaks. They teach their children to be liars and sneaks. They are killers. And they are participants in mass murder. They are warmongers. This planet would be better off if every Republican would rapture on out of here tomorrow. Go. But, of course, that's not reality. Reality is these vermin are here in America on this planet, infesting and destroying everything they touch, come in contact with, or even think about. They are that evil. When we come back, I will play for you Rumsfeld addressing the National Conference of State Legislatures today about Halliburton's latest fraud. And then George W. Bush talking about the same issue. Truth Seeker, what you will hear is a divergence of opinion.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you sick a feeling spry, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
The Mike Mullen Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops.
Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man.
He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Mullen Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, thank you, Robin. All right, here we go. This is Rumsfeld addressing the National Conference of State Legislatures today. And what happens is one of the state legislators, somebody from Minnesota, stands up and asks Rumsfeld about Halliburton's latest fraud. And as usual, Rumsfeld is barely aware of this issue. You ever notice about Rumsfeld? I don't care what it is, unless it's about eating dead people or ripping corpses to pieces. Rumsfeld is an expert on death, but anything other than that, I know nothing. So Rumsfeld is barely aware of this issue, and then he contradicts, excuse me, what Too Stupid to Be President said earlier today. Rove ought to get them on the same page, right? Okay, here's the question. Mr. Rumsfeld, I'm Senator Becky Lawry from Minnesota. I'm very upset about the services to our servicemen that Halliburton is providing. Not only could we save a lot of money if they weren't overcharging us as much as they are, but the services that they are providing now for our servicemen are not as efficient as, for instance, they were in Bosnia, when my son was in Bosnia and the army was in charge of services. And it is a great concern to me, Mr. Secretary, when our servicemen and women are over there, and an entity, a non-bid entity such as Halliburton, is not doing the job that our own Army had always done much better. Do you have a comment, sir?
I'm not intimately knowledgeable about what you're talking about with respect to this particular company, but I was advised this morning that what is going, there was no overpayment to any company. And in fact, there is a fairly normal process going on where they submit bills from their subcontractors and for their own. It gets discussed and debated.
Don't you just... Oh, I can't even finish the sentence.
Still answering Senator Becky Lowry's question about Halliburton and still contradicting what Bush said today, Rumsfeld continues. Now, I love how he gets sarcastic with this woman whose son served in Bosnia and now is in Iraq at the end of his statement.
What you're reading about in the paper is not an overpayment at all. It is a disagreement between the United States government. It may, I'm not an expert, I shouldn't be speaking about this, but my understanding is it may be a disagreement between the company and the Department of Defense as to what, and possibly between the company and subcontractors as to what ought to be charged. But there has not, to my knowledge, been any overpayment, and I wouldn't want your comment to leave these good folks with a misimpression.
Oh, you snot. You arrogant snot. So here's Too Stupid to Be President. Today he announced the new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, but a reporter, the crack White House press corps, asked a question about Halliburton. Listen as he contradicts what you just heard Rumsfeld say. Reporter says, with the Pentagon looking into the Halliburton contract, Mr. President, are you concerned that that gives some fuel to your critics that the contract was inappropriate in the first place?
I appreciate the Pentagon looking out after the taxpayers' money. They felt like there was an overcharge issue. They put the issue right out there on the table for everybody to see, and they're doing good work. We're going to watch. We're going to make sure that as we spend the money in Iraq, that it's spent well and spent wisely. Their investigation will lay the facts out for everybody to see. And if there's an overcharge, like we think there is, we expect that money to be repaid.
Oh, but George, you dumbass, your Secretary of Defense said there is no such thing. What's the matter, George? Aren't you paying attention? Huh, George? Hey, George?
Have I mentioned? Well, yeah, I did. All right, stick around. We got two more. Two more quotes from Too Stupid to Be Anything Other Than a Dog Catcher. And I'm sorry, if you're a dog catcher, I don't mean to insult you. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Vice President, I've got great confidence in the Vice President, doing a heck of a good job. When I picked him, I knew he was a fine business leader and a fine, experienced man. And that matter will take run its course, the Halliburton investigation. All I have is one.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The world's environmental problems seem ever larger, but an author says people should think small. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A popular bumper sticker urges you to think globally, act locally. But focusing too much on the world's big problems can make you feel like giving up, according to David Suzuki. He's an award-winning scientist and co-author of a new book called Good News for a Change.
Environmentalists get into the rut of constantly warning that the sky is falling, you know, that we're going into global warming, ozone depletion, deforestation, desertification. And we get locked into the mentality that it's crisis, 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 and we've got to respond to it. But we don't spend, I think, enough time saying, what are the alternatives? Are there, in fact, solutions? Or are we just on an irreversible path that we can't get off?
Suzuki says we can turn things around, but time is running out.
There is absolutely no doubt that we have changed the makeup of the atmosphere, that the planet is getting warmer, and that we are causing imminent catastrophic consequences.
Suzuki says people must find ways to change their households and their communities without losing heart.
If you keep focusing on the global picture, it is so huge and so overwhelming, it tends to paralyze you. People feel totally disempowered because they feel insignificant. So it's important to understand that we're in a global eco-collapse, but we've got to be focused locally because otherwise one is rendered helpless.
Suzuki says people should contact elected officials about the big issues and work on things they can change close to home. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Okay, 27 before the hour. We're still picking up some sound here from Too Stupid to Be Anything But a Deserter. Bush, at the announcement of his new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, a reporter asked this: Mr. President, many of your critics are saying that you should distance yourself from Halliburton And they say it's an albatross around this administration's neck, particularly the vice president and you. What are your thoughts about that, sir?
My thoughts are is that I expect anybody doing business with the United States government to be transparent and to give the taxpayers a good return on their money. That's what I expect. And if anybody's overcharging the government, we expect them to repay that money.
Oh, isn't it? Well, that, yeah, well, that's great. A good return on their money. So what about the families who are sacrificing their sons and daughters for you? Huh? You killer? What about them? What kind of return are they getting on their money? Oh, never mind. I don't mean to bring it up. Another reporter, last one, asked about Jim Baker's conflict of interest. You know, Baker, the guy that, a consultant advisor to the Carlyle Group. What else? Baker Botts, the company that the law firm that represents Halliburton. The reporter says, Mr. President, tell me why former Secretary of State Baker's ties with Carlyle Group and with Baker Botts don't pose a conflict of interest in this new task you have given him of restructuring Iraq's debt. Now listen, Bush doesn't understand the question. Maybe that's why he doesn't answer it.
Jim Baker is a man of high integrity. He's a man of enormous experience.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for him to serve our country on an important mission.
And he bounces me on his knee, yeah.
To encourage
countries,
to forgive debt so the Iraqi people can
more easily yeah,
grow
a nation.
A nation that is prosperous and peaceful.
And peaceful, yeah.
And Jim Baker is, Jim Baker, we're fortunate to have Jim Baker agree to serve our country.
And he bounces me on his knee every night after I have my cocoa before I go to bed. Nobody asked what his mission was, you moron, or whether or not you thought he was experienced. You didn't answer the question. You didn't answer the question. But so what? All right, now, as a lead-in to this, well, the Dave in Tampa writes, and Mike, sometimes I think our corporate-owned news media is schizophrenic or at least befuddled. Today's story about Halliburton's KBR subsidiary overcharging the Pentagon for gasoline purchased in Kuwait and resold in Iraq was dutifully reported, but in a ho-hum sort of way.
Let's see, a corporation that our vice president used to run and still has on his payroll is profiteering from a war that our vice president pushed for long before he became vice president.
To his credit, Dan Blather led his broadcast with the story, but as far as he was concerned, the most important aspect of the story was how Democrats were going to milk it to their advantage in the upcoming campaign. No mention by Dan Blather or any of the other news outlets that Cheney still refers deferred pay from Halliburton. As far as I can remember, Dave writes, this is the closest the mainstream media has come to exposing the naked corruption of the Bush crime syndicate with war profiteering and these no-bid contracts. But hey, it's no big deal. Go back to sleep. Meanwhile, you and your listeners are so accustomed to this by now that today's Halliburton story hardly seems like news. Isn't this a huge story? Dave, Tampa. Yeah, it is, Dave. In a legitimate country, in a country we could live in without shame, in a country that had a news media who saw as its duty to report these kinds of stories, yeah, it would be a huge story. In Bush's America, it's not squat. Besides, Dave, chill out, man. Chill out. The Dow Jones is over 10,000 today. What's your problem, dude? All right, one more time, Rumsfeld, because this is a lead-in to Rumsfeld ordering breakfast at Denny's, okay? Now, this again, I just played it for you. This is Rumsfeld addressing the National Conference of State Legislatures today. He was trying to answer this state senator's question about Halliburton. Listen to Rumsfeld.
What you're reading about in the paper is not an overpayment at all. It is a disagreement between the United States government. I'm not an expert, I shouldn't be speaking about this, but my understanding is it may be a disagreement between the company and the Department of Defense as to what, and possibly between the company and subcontractors as to what ought to be charged. But there has not, to my knowledge, been any overpayment, and I wouldn't want your comment to leave these good folks with a misimpression.
Donald Rumsfeld is sitting at Denny's. The waitress comes up. May I take your order, sir? Well, that's a good question. Am I ready to order? Let me answer it a little off to the side. First of all, there are things that we know. I can look at this menu and see that. But there's a danger there. Do I know that hash browns are not included in the original Grand Slam breakfast? It says that on the menu, which, by the way, is nicely laminated, and we're grateful to the laminator. But getting back to the hash brown potatoes, I should know that they're not included. The real truth is there are no knowns. There's a whole new menu. Are we in the past? No. Are we using the past's menu? No. Are there things that we know? Not exactly. There are known unknowns. That is to say that there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things that we don't know we don't know. Got that? I want you to note that on the check. And by the way, the meat lover's skillet is a fine piece of work. Thank you for putting that together. Now, as far as ordering, first, juice. And a small glass of skim milk. Then to answer the question that I know you were going to ask, yes, this maybe isn't the healthiest place to eat, but we're here. That much is not debatable. We're here. Here, not someplace else, not there. We're here. Back in philosophy class, that's what we used to call a given. Now, who said we should be here? We don't know. Who picked this place? I can't say. Who drove the car? I wasn't paying attention. Who's paying for this? That will become clear. Where do we sit? Anywhere you like. Do you like a booth or a movable seat? Makes no difference. Do you want to sit facing the door? Not at this time. All these questions are not givens. We can talk about them, and we will talk about them when the time is right. Now is not the time or the place to talk. It's the time to order, and that's exactly what we're doing. Now, another thing. Does this place have a hell of a lot of cholesterol on the menu? Sure. Does cholesterol result in clogged arteries? Probably. Do clogged arteries cause cardiac events? Sometimes. Is it a good idea to clog up all your arteries so your blood stops moving completely? I doubt it. Has the blood completely stopped moving in several parts of my body? Sure. Am I going to grab my chest, fall on the ground, and twist my face into a grotesque mask of pain? Absolutely. Am I going to go ahead and order the original Grand Slam breakfast? You betcha. Look, I want bacon and sausage. Now, let me stop right here. Bacon is, we all know, and nobody seriously doubts it anymore, very similar to sausage. They both come from pigs. They're both cooked. And they're both eaten. They're similar. S-I-M-I-L-A-R. They're not the same. S-A-M-E. If they were the same, I wouldn't be ordering both of them. I don't think the most liberal person in the world can deny that, unless he wants to maintain the existence of a parallel universe with spacemen and ray guns. Now, is there going to be a cost for this? Sure. Will it be a high cost? I don't know. Am I going to pay for it? Don't know. Am I going to pretend I'm going to the bathroom and then just bolt on the check? Maybe. Are they going to catch me getting into my car? Not if I send somebody out to start the car and pull it right up outside the door so I can just run out there and dive in the back seat. Do I have a good chance of getting away with it? Absolutely. Is this a crime? Well, I personally think of it as defending myself from breakfast items of exorbitant price, period. It's just a rational way of dealing with expense, a very forward-looking, sensible way of dealing with breakfast in a very cost-conscious manner. That's all. Thank you very much. Frank Gannon, writing in the New Yorker, months ago. I guess I'll probably have to post this, won't I? Yeah, all right. From the Des Moines Register. Or is it Des Moines? Is it Des Moines? Des Moines, Iowa. Des Moines. Des Moines Register. The editorial. Some die, others profit. $2.64 a gallon for gasoline for Iraq. Pay to Halliburton is outrageous. War profiteering has long been despised by Americans, and Halliburton's outrageous contract in Iraq ought to reopen that vein of moral outrage. Your government is paying the company more than twice what others are paying to bring in fuel from Kuwait, the New York Times reported Wednesday. Halliburton's defense of its pricing, that it's a costly, dangerous undertaking, and that the company can only negotiate a 30-day contract for fuel, isn't convincing. not when the United States is paying Halliburton an average of $2.64 a gallon to import gasoline from Kuwait, while Iraq's state oil company pays 96 cents a gallon, and the Pentagon's Defense Energy Support Center says $1.08 to $1.19 a gallon. Halliburton has an exclusive contract. Vice President Dick Cheney is the former chief executive officer of the company. This may well be legal, but that doesn't mean it is proper. Well, that's really left-wing for the Des Moines Register, right? Huh? Kind of a right-wing newspaper. It is. It is indeed, editorially speaking. Imagine just for a moment, if you would, that Bill Clinton were president. Eh? And Al Gore had been the former CEO of Halliburton. Okay, now pick yourself up off the floor. Because you and I both know, we damn well know, that their editorial in the Des Moines Register would not read like this, would it?
This may well be legal, but that doesn't mean it's proper. Halliburton's defense of its pricing isn't convincing.
Imagine. Imagine if Bill Clinton were president and Al Gore had been the CEO of Halliburton and were still receiving thousands upon thousands of dollars a year. I've already mentioned tonight how much I hate these people. Yeah, I have. Okay. My man who goes by Blue Canyon 2 at NewMexico.com sent me this. The little article says, President George W. Bush said yesterday that there's a very simple reason that countries like France and Germany and Russia and Canada are getting shut out of post-war contracts in Iraq. They didn't risk any lives there. Bush told reporters at the White House, the taxpayers understand why it makes sense for countries that risk lives to participate in the contracts in Iraq. It's very simple. Our people risk their lives. Friendly coalition folks risk their lives, and therefore the contracting is going to reflect that. And that's what the U.S. taxpayers expect. My feelings exactly. Those kids who risk their lives, well, the corporations of their country deserves to make the profit. Perfect Republican logic. I'm behind you all the way, George. I'm thrilled by being made complicit in this scheme. Where's my cut? Sincerely, taxpayer. Awful stuff. It is awful stuff. It just is. And I'm ashamed of myself for sitting here and doing 3 hours of talk radio a night. What I should be doing is organizing the overthrow of the Bush government.
Uh-oh, be careful, Mike. Uh-oh. You're going to get in trouble.
JP is calling from Dawsonville, Georgia, where it's probably snowing tonight. Hey, JP.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Is that Kathy who answers the phones?
It is Kathy, indeed.
Well, she does a great job. She remembers who I am every time I call in.
Oh, that's why we pay her the big bucks.
Well, she deserves them.
Well, she's hearing you talk, and her face just lit up with a smile. Thank you, JP.
About Halliburton, wasn't that a product of deregulation of the energy market?
Well, if it wasn't, it should be. Halliburton has made a lot of money. That's where Cheney went after he was led the first invasion as Department of Defense Secretary back during Pappy Bush administration. Cheney led the slaughter of tens of thousands of fleeing Iraqis. Utterly destroyed the country, utterly butchered their army, and then went to work for Halliburton. And his goal, he was kind of pissed off because Pappy Bush wouldn't keep going all the way to Baghdad. And that's one of the reasons Pappy Bush was defeated by Bill Clinton, because the right wing, the neocons in this country, said, oh, that son of a bitch, he let us down. So, referring to Pappy Bush. So, yeah. And then Cheney took over Halliburton, got everything set up, did a lot of business with Iraq during a time when Iraq was supposed to be under an embargo. Nobody was supposed to do business. But that didn't matter to Cheney and Halliburton. They just did business through their European subsidiaries, okay? So, and now he's the vice president, so what the hell? Lots and lots and lots of money. That's a long way of answering your question. I could have just said yes.
Well, it's a... definitely a double standard. They say they're running the government like a business, like
a mafia, like an organized crime business. Let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back to you, JP. I've talked and talked and talked on your dime, and now I got to take a break.
The lust of death's possession will overtake his psycho mind. He won't be happy.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right-wing amidiitis. or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Hey, we're just about out of time on a Friday night. JP, go ahead, wrap it up for me, pal.
Okay. I guess what I was going to say was, whenever the military is working on borrowed money, it's really bad for our national security. And when we did it in World War II, it was more out of necessity because Roosevelt had to basically raise the tax rates as much as they could.
Right, right.
But now, you know, there's no reason for us to do this. And that's just going to destroy our military and how it's able to function.
Yeah, but Halliburton and Keller Brown and Root and Bechtel and all these companies will make a lot of money, JP, and that's what this is about.
Oh, I was going to ask one more thing. Can I be your Dawson County Bureau Chief?
Absolutely. I've been waiting for you to ask.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right. JP, have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, sir. Oh, good. We get to get Sue in here, who is called from Rocky Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Sue.
Hi. How are you?
Problem is we only have about a minute left, dear heart.
Okay. I just want to just thank you for just being an outlet for outrage.
That's what we are. You know,
outrage. They just are horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I get emails sometimes from people that say, well, you know, you shouldn't be so pissed off. You ought to be more find solutions. I don't have any solutions. This is a place to come and express our outrage. I mean, I have solutions just like you do.
Yes.
But that's not what this program is about. This program
needs to express outrage right now.
There you go.
Just feel comfortable with that and stop being taking criticism for it because. It's well deserved, and thank you so much. I know it must be exhausting, but I really appreciate the relief that I get from listening.
I understand that it's not as exhausting as you might think. To carry around this rage would be exhausting. So
well, to get rid of it.
Yeah. Thanks, Sue.
Okay.
All right. You have a good weekend. Hey, we're out of time, aren't we? Are we out of time, Kathy? Almost. Program was engineered in Detroit tonight by John Lucas, who, by the way, is the genius that puts together some of these promos that you hear about the Mike Malloy Show, you know, about the snakes rising up, the fire hoses. That's our engineer, a young dude up in Detroit, John Lucas, extremely talented, extremely talented. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Our announcer is Robin Bittman. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check out the site. Sign up if you want to. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Also, sometime this weekend, if you're a rich liberal, please go to radiopower.org and make a $1,000 or $5,000 contribution to Shelby LaPrey's operation there. If you're not a rich liberal, $10 would do it. Eh? Radiopower.org. They help get this program out. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. I hope. I really hope. Take care. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
I get things in my mind and I say, let's try this.
Hey, there's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network. My fellow Americans, this is Laura.